This podcast is part of the Podcast Arcade Network.
Hello, I am Randy Andrews, and today I've got Jamie Christofferson on as I interview him about his current work on American Wrestler the Wizard, as well as knowing that this is the eighth collaboration with writer-director Alex Ranaravello. I'll ask questions and then go into some of the music that Jamie has composed. All coming up today on Soundtrack Alley. Today, I've got Jamie Christofferson on as we discuss the projects he has done with writer-director Alex Ranaravello. So now, you can enjoy that interview. Hello, I am Randy Andrews, and today I'm with Jamie Christofferson as we talk about film scoring that he has done with the current movie American Wrestler, The Wizard. And so Jamie, it's nice to have you on with me today.
Nice to meet you, Randall.
Yes, and I'm really thankful that you've been able to take the time to do this interview. First of all, I'd like to ask you, what introduced you to composing music?
Well, let's see. I think the first thing that really turned me on to film music was hearing on its own, before I even saw the movie, I heard the soundtrack to... obviously from a young age, Star Wars and all that, but the thing that really piqued my interest was a soundtrack called The Mission by Ennio Morricone.
Mm-hmm.
And I had just heard the album for some reason. It ended up at my mom's house, and I heard that, and I just was mesmerized by the combination of music from seemingly very different styles and sources, and then how he kind of weaves all those in and brings them together. Then I finally, was so enamored with that soundtrack that I watched the movie, and I was just even more blown away and kind of led on a path to just being obsessed with, soundtracks and, devouring all I could back then. So that was around, it was probably junior high or something like that where I heard that first.
Nice. What challenges have you found when composing for film or for video games?
Well, every every project is unique and presents its own challenges and rewards, depending on what it is. It's kind of like a puzzle. You got to figure out how the pieces kind of fit together for everything, and how to have each project have a unique sound and a unique thematic thing, so you're not repeating yourself. And so, there's the easy way to do it, and then there's trying to do it the way that just services the film the best as possible. So it's And then you have, of course, so there's the creative challenges,
mm-hmm.
which, trying to figure, figure out the sound, figure out thematics, and how that works with the visuals. And then there's the just the logistics of getting it done. Time constraints, technology constraints in terms of video games and for talking about video games, you're talking about a lot of various things like implementation and interactivity and how are we going to best utilize whatever tools we have to make the biggest emotional impact, you know, through music. And then there's budget constraints as well. You know, I work on a lot of independent films, so a lot of times we don't have budgets for orchestras or anything like that. So, which can be good creatively sometimes, because you have to think outside the box and you have to think about how are you going to achieve, you know, something with maybe a few live musicians or sometimes all synthesizers, but how are you going to still have it be impactful? Mm-hmm. So yeah, a lot of challenges, but they also can lead to good rewards.
Well, that's really interesting to hear, because I was thinking, in regard to, say, your video game music that you have done in the past, say, with even the current, well, it's fairly current, the Metal Gear Solid Rising Revengeance, what did you find with that video game? Did you have to compose, like, little bits to keep the action going, or when the character is standing still, is there music that you have to compose specifically for that type, or how is that dealt with?
I mean, for that game in particular, there's two types of music. There's kind of location, I guess a few more types, but mainly location-based cues. So if you go into one area, you have music for that area, and it had varying degrees of intensity depending on what's going on, how many enemies, or you just kind of walking around the scene. That's one layer, and then you add more layers on top. So that's one type, was location based, and so it kind of would give, you know, go along with what's happening in the story and what's happening visually in the level that you're on. And then at the end or halfway through levels, you would come up to bosses, and so that's where we created the songs for that game, and with the idea of them just being really over the top, you know, heavy metal influence kind of stuff, and those could go on for a while. So the song in reality is only, you know, 3.5-4 minutes long, but sometimes the fight can be, you know, 15-20 minutes. So it kind of, you know, jumps, and we did a lot of implementation on there, jumps between, you know, the verses to the chorus, and then eventually when you get to the last part of the fight, the vocals kick in. And how does that happen? You know, they had an in-house person implementing and doing all that kind of stuff in conjunction, you know, with my advice, but he mainly did the bulk of the work with implementation and stretching that out. So those are, you know, for that game, two interesting types of thing.
That is really interesting. I, you know, I've never heard that side of it, because sometimes when you see a video game visually and you hear some of the music, you wonder, well, was there additional music that they had to compose for when the character's just standing still? So
yeah, well, I mean, the character, that's the thing about video games, is the character can stand still whenever he wants, even in the middle of battle if he wants, but, you know, he'll probably die.
Yeah,
but so it's more about leading, I guess, leading them, the characters, through music sometimes, like to inform them what they should be doing. Like, if action music starts playing, well, maybe they should start running.
Yeah, exactly. So how has, when you've composed music, how do you feel the differences between film music and video game music? Is there a big difference in composing for each?
Well, like I just touched base on a little bit, in video game music, you have to have the music being able to change at any given point. So, in intensity levels mainly. Mm-hmm. So you never really know what the player's going to do unless you make them do something. But A lot of the times, the game levels are a little bit more open, so you have to compose your music in a way that the audio game engine can make those changes, and so you need to usually keep tempos at very, you know, the same tempo throughout the queue for, say, 2 minutes, so that at any, you know, bar in the music, it can easily transition into another intensity layer or into another queue seamlessly. So the game audio engines can actually read which BPM you're at, which beats per minute you're at, and do a transition seamlessly, so that the player doesn't hear that. With with film music, a lot of the times we're changing tempos very often to hit certain cuts, because we know exactly what those cuts are, and they never change, obviously, in film. It's like, well, for the locked cuts, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's more about being musical, and it's okay if tempos change often, because you don't have to. You're just composing it once, and that's the way it's going to be.
Yeah, and so let's give the example of American wrestler The Wizard. How have you found composing for that film? Do you feel that it differs from other films that you've composed for?
Well, let's see. That film, one really cool thing with that film is after the initial spotting session, and a spotting session is where I sit down with the director and we watch through the film multiple times and talk about where music is going to be placed, what kind of music, what emotions we want in the scenes, and we try and get on the same page. And so on that film, we had a really great normal spotting session, and then I was very, inspired right after. I kind of sat down at the piano, and like almost every theme that I used in that movie came to me within the next hour.
Wow.
Which is very unusual, actually, for it to kind of come that easy. And then I spent, of course, 2 months kind of honing in those ideas and orchestrating them and all that kind of stuff. So that was cool to have happen. But, as far as the actual process of composing, not too much different than what I've done in the past.
Well, that's good. I mean, when I've listened to the cues for American Wrestler, I've found it very relaxing, and then I've appreciated the different instruments you used. Now, one of the things that I noted was that with the director that you work with is Alex Renaravello, I found that you've done 8 other projects with him.
Yes, I'm starting on my 8th one right now.
Now, is that Pray for Rain, or is there another project that's in the works with the same director?
Pray for Rain is done, and that'll come out in theaters and video on demand in about middle of June or the end of June.
Okay. Can you say what your most current project is?
Yeah, the one I'm on right now is a film called Ride.
Oh, okay.
That's the next one that we're doing, and it's an interesting film. It's a BMX racing, like a trick BMX film.
Oh, okay.
But it's got a very very dramatic story that goes along with it about a boy that gets sent in juvie because of a troubled past and neo-Nazi family.
Wow.
All that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
That he has to overcome his past, and through, you know, through a set of circumstances, and he basically falls in love with riding bikes, and uses that to kind of help him out of his funk.
Nice.
Yeah.
How does emotion affect your film composing when it's either, say, a drama or an action adventure or other type of film?
Well, I mean, I guess every film again is a little bit different of what we're trying to achieve, but trying, you know, music is trying to basically, you know,
well, let's
play what we're gonna say.
Well, let's give the example of American wrestler The Wizard, for instance. How does emotion play into the score?
Yes, well, for American Wizard, how does the music help with emotion in that one?
Yeah.
There is a lot of, first of all, the boy, the main character of the story, you know, escapes from Iran in the beginning of the movie, from Iran. And so you have his past, and he's still tied to his past, but he assimilates into America. And so throughout the score, you know, we have kind of a few Iranian instruments, things like that. However, I made sure to not use them in the traditional Iranian way, because I didn't want to have those kind of modalities, and I wanted to kind of look forward, because he really, really wants to, you know, become an American, normal American teenager, mm-hmm. in America. And so the instrumentation is there, and the emotional weight of some of those instruments is there, but it's also kind of fit in with a very Americana kind of sports sound in conjunction with that. And so so it's interesting. Like, to, that's one of the great things about film composing, is you get to blend all these things that normally wouldn't blend together.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, it's really unique. Just thinking about the theme, or one of the main themes for American Wrestler, do you use some of the themes throughout the film to generate the same type of idea, or are you able to use one theme a lot to emphasize a character, or how does that work?
Yeah, there's a there's like a main theme that definitely comes back in different ways throughout the film. And then there's some other themes. There's a theme for his uncle. That's a, you know, big part of his life, and so without spoiling it, something happens to his uncle where he's not around, and but the music still plays. The uncle's, even when he's not on screen, or when he's remembering his time with his uncle, and so we use music to kind of, you know, tie that emotional through line together.
All right. Well, I mean, as I've listened to some of the cues that were sent to me, and being able to really think about where, you know, what part of the movie this is really generating, and what type of emotion is the character feeling, and you really can feel that through your music, and that's one thing I wanted to appreciate for your film scoring.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, and so we've talked a little bit about what your next project is, dealing with Ride. Do you have any independent projects that you work on?
Lately, it's been mostly just, you know, independent films, some video game things. And so, no, it hasn't really left me much time to do it. However, I do have a few things in the works, but that I can't really talk about yet. But yeah, some things that are some passion projects.
Cool.
Definitely.
Cool. Cause,
but it's hard to find time to do that kind of stuff. You have to.
I imagine. Do you have your own film studio or your own recording studio in your home, or do you go somewhere to record?
Yeah, I have a very kind of industrial, modern live work loft kind of thing, and so yeah, part of that is my studio. So. So that's convenient.
Yeah,
not have to commute and all that.
Yeah, that makes it a lot easier, to where you can, if you're thinking about something that you want to put together, You can do it at 3 o'clock in the morning if you want.
Yes, you definitely can.
So, well, that's about all the questions that I have for you today. I've really appreciated being able to ask you these different questions, even in regard to American Wrestler, The Wizard. You said that you can find that film on demand, and it's in theaters currently, correct?
It was released through a company called Fathom Events, so it was a one-day national release. So, like, it played in hundreds of theaters, but for one day. But now you can get it available, like, anywhere online, iTunes, Amazon, Vudu, all those kinds of places.
Okay. All right. And your next, well, the next project that's getting released is Pray for Rain, and it has Jane Seymour in it, correct?
It does, it does. And then we finished another one that will come out after that I'm really excited about. It's called Dirt.
Oh, okay.
And that one stars Kevin Dillon from Entourage.
Nice.
And it's about off-road racing. Mm-hmm. And it's got a lot of adrenaline, and it's got a great kind of story to go along with it. And we're all really proud of that one. So that one, not sure on the release date of that one, but yeah, look all forward. Right.
Well, I will definitely be looking for that. And just as a side note, Jane Seymour was recently in Omaha, Nebraska, and she was promoting a screening of Somewhere in Time. And my wife, in fact, got to meet her, so that was pretty exciting. So,
very cool.
Yeah, yeah. So, where can people find you?
They could just find a bunch of my music on my website, jamiechristofferson.com.
All right. And, Jamie, I want to thank you for this interview, and I'm glad that we've had a chance to talk, and I hope you are able to get what you need done today, and I'm glad you were able to take the time to converse with me.
Thank you. Thanks very much for the chat.
All right. Well, I'll let you go then. Have a good day.
Okay. Have a great day.
All right. Bye. Today, I'll go into some of the cues that Jamie Christofferson has sent that come from the album of American Wrestler, The Wizard, and then one cue from Running Wild. Both are now in select theaters. To give you a rundown on the plot of American Wrestler, here it is. A teenage boy, adjusting to life in a new town, combats the disapproval and scorn of his uncle, his classmates, and his neighbors when he joins the school's floundering wrestling team, only to become the squad's star member. So now, let's play that suite for you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Next, I've got one cue from Running Wild. Here is the basic plot. When her husband dies unexpectedly, California socialite Stella Davis learns that he has secretly mortgaged their ranch, and she has 90 days before creditors show up to take the property away from her. Inspired by her great-grandmother's stories of the hardships endured to acquire the land, Stella determines to keep it, with the help of her rancher manager, Brannon. When Stella finds a herd of sickly horses grazing on her land, Brannon informs her that it's a federal crime to take care of them. And you might note that Sharon Stone actually stars in this movie. So now, I'll play that cue.
Within. It lifts me up towards the sky. An urgent call commands. Yet tears are falling from my eyes. I pray for strength to find my way to fill your heart with pride. To live another day. I know that it's my time to rise.
Posho, pesaran, posho. Posho, pesaran, posho.
No matter where I go, no matter where the mountains climb, the rhythm of my soul. Be steady so my spirit flies. And when my body breaks, to weariness I can't defy. To live another day, I know that it's my time to rise. I see it clear, it's everything before my eyes. Feel your touch in every way I can deny. And all I have is all that I am inside. I know that it's my time to rise. Within to leave the innocence behind, go running with the wind, believing through the darkest night, a better day will come, and victory from sacrifice. I live another day. Know that it's my time to rise. I see it clear, it's everything before my eyes. I feel your touch in every way I can deny. That is my time to rise. I know that it's my time to rise.
Lastly today, I've got two different selections I've got from two video games that Jamie Christofferson composed for. First, I'll play a brief little suite from Lord of the Rings, Battle for Middle-earth. It consists of The Fellowship Continues, Expansion of Darkness, and Victory is Near. So now I'll play those cues. Next and last, I've got a suite I've created for Metal Gear Solid Rising Revengeance. The suite includes music from the game. The tracks I've included are Revenge with a Vengeance, Underground, Mystical Ninja, and Might Makes Right. I'd also like to thank Jillian Orwell today for my intro, and also like to thank Jamie Christofferson for the great interview. You can find my podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Podbean, and other media. Also, you can email me at soundtrackalley@yahoo.com. So, I'd like you to enjoy these cues, and until next time, happy listening. Thank you. thank you for listening to Soundtrack Alley, the podcast. I hope you take some time to review my podcast on iTunes and also listen to it on Podbean. And if you leave a review or rating on there, it'll help us get noticed on iTunes. Thank you so much. Have a good day. Thank you for listening to Soundtrack Alley Spotlight. If you are on Apple Podcasts, please rate and review the show. Also, if you want to leave a comment, question, or concern, please email me at soundtrackalley@gmail.com and enjoy looking at my blog at soundtrackalley.com.